Yes, Azar, I'd like to ask you, if I may, a general question and
anything,
a specific
anything.
Question.
Most welcome.
Thank you. One subject that I know concerns many citizens of Britain, particularly a few years ago, but still today, is the response of the Muslim community to the author Salman Rushdie's book, The Satanic Verses, and of course the fatwa that was issued against him. What I want to know in specific terms is, do you support the fatwa that was issued against Salman Rushdie? And in general terms, if you do, to what extent do you think that violence or the threat of violence is justified against those who offend against religion?
But I think this question is only directed in one direction. Well, the other direction should also be contained in this question, as to the reaction of those who support Salman Rushdie's behavior and conduct, and who praise his work as an excellent piece of art, praiseworthy piece of art. So open this question and widen it. Otherwise it will be not fair for me to only answer you in one direction while the other direction is left unattended. This question has to be taken in totality, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. The issue of fatwa of others does not apply to me, because I'm the head of the MDA community, so the question could have been better modulated if it said that what is the fatwa of Jamaat Ahmadiyya in this? You see? Mm-hmm. I'm speaking from the seat where fatwas are issued, not followed. Because I am understood to be the leader of Ahmadiyya community in the sense that I understand the Holy Quran and the Hadith, etc., better in most cases. In some cases, I may falter, I agree, I am not above this. But in most cases, of all the living people today in Ahmadiyya, if I were not the person who would understand the Quranic teachings and the Hadith better than all other individuals, then I would not be fit for this occupation. Mm-hmm. Right? Sure. So you can inquire from me, what is your fatwa? My fatwa is the one which I have repeatedly spoken of, but the British press boycotted my observations, despite being present at the time when I spoke on this subject in detail and in depth. Immediately after the incident, I called a press conference which was heavily attended by the national press as well as by the local press from different parts of the country. And at the end of the conference, I told them, look here, we have spent 2 hours together, very pleasant atmosphere, everything. But today you are not going to publish anything of what I have said. Tomorrow, I mean. Mm-hmm. And some of them were genuinely amazed and some affectedly amazed. Why shouldn't we? I said, even if you should, your papers will not publish. Because you want to publish only that material which your people want from you. Excitement. Any answer which defends Islam and which presents the whole issue in a perspective where Islam appears to be a lovable religion will not be acceptable to you, because the people don't want such an answer. They want an answer which helps Khomeiniism to be highlighted. So if I had said whatever Khomeini had said, mm-hmm. you will publish the fresh, you know, flashing headlines, the head of the Ahmadiyya community fully supports this, and every paper will cover. But because I have rejected his fatwa, and because I have explained according to in with reference to the Holy Quran, that no man has a right to punish anybody for any blasphemy, you are not going to publish it. And it was not published. The next day, as if no conference had taken place. Because your press is becoming like a mafia. it follows unwritten, undictated policies which the press thinks suit the Western interests. If anything is published which brings Islam closer to the hearts of the Western people, then that publication would make that press as much unpopular, to that degree unpopular. Because that is not what is in the air, we see. Today you want Islam to be kept at distance. Now, maybe largely because Islam is presented to you by extremists today. But those extremists who present Islam, they are never questioned as to the validity of their views on Islam. While this is the issue which should have to be brought to the focus of attention. Now, because it's a long answer, and I know all of you are extremely very intelligent people and educated, you will understand the points which are relevant and which are central to the issue. All discussions on Rushdie or other such things should focus upon the teachings of the Holy Quran and their correct interpretation. That should be debatable. Khomeini has a right to interpret the Quran and the Hadith in his own way, so have I. But it should have been publicly discussed with reference to the teachings, not with reference to the disposition of certain leaders, not with reference to the political dictates of the Muslim country, but with reference to the religious dictates of Islam itself. So that is where they have gone remiss, everywhere. No questions were raised in this direction. Oh, all right, Mr. Khomeini, come on, bring your arguments based on the Holy Quran. And then any sensible person who has any knowledge of the Quran could have rebutted those arguments and stilled his voice. That was not done. On the other hand, attempts were made to further aggravate the situation of misunderstanding between the Christians and Islam and Muslims. Because this issue, as I also mentioned during those that press conference, if looked at from a different point, where the behavior of the European public or the Western public is concerned, or Western leadership is concerned, if you look at it from that point of view, you'll be surprised to see that they're all supporting indecency. Such indecency as they will never tolerate in their own parliaments. They will call it an unparliamentary language and chuck out the people who do not swallow that insult. So openly, I mentioned Mrs. Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister at that time. I said, the issues involved are not just a total freedom. Issues involved are where your freedom stops and our freedom begins. Issues are drawing a line between the spheres of freedom of people. And you yourself accept the freedom of some people not to be hurt unnecessarily. This is a common decency which is the fruit of civilization. You employ this principle in your parliaments. And I said, if somebody stands up in the parliament and calls Mrs. Thatcher a whore, you know, a wretched, wanton lady, would you tolerate it in the name of freedom? Impossible. The whole house would rise in protest against such a person. Either he swallows that insult himself, or he'll be chucked out of the parliament. Now here we are speaking of a political leader of one country. What about the religious leader who is held in much higher esteem to that to which Mrs. Thatcher could ever be held? Why not people of one country? A billion people all over the world. And you do not show any decency towards that honor the honor of such a man, such a leader. So if your common language and common behavior, this indecency is carried out, although there is no punishment you can mete out to such a person according to religion, at least you should distance yourself from this. At least you should condemn the indecencies contained in Salman Rushdie's book. Anybody who has read it would know that right from the beginning he is out at insulting and threw aspersions on the characters of all the near ones to Hazrat Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his wives, his companions, in the foulest language. See, which even hurts the sensibilities of modern people in relation to the modern things. And to abuse somebody who is dead, and abuse a generation who are dead, who are held in such high esteem of holiness by one-fifth of the total population of the world, and for you to praise him and to award him when you support him, what does it indicate? It's reflective of your own internal distortions. So there should have been voices raised in condemnation. If that had been done, the reaction of the Muslim world would be completely different. They would have begun to respect you. They would have started coming closer to you. And it would be they who would condemn Salman Rushdie. Now, Khomeini. Was this nonsense? The decent people of the world have already punished this man. But this is not what happened. So, the fault is on both the parties, equally or unequally shared, but the fault lies on both sides. Hmm. Right?
Yes. And you think that Khomeini inflamed the situation?
Yes.